You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Big Apple Hockey. And you notice we're one short, but don't worry. We'll have all three of us together in just a minute. And I, of course, am your host, Mark Williams. I was one of 18,000 disappointed fans last night. And joined by the fourth period's Mr. Anthony Larocco.
2024, Mark. Your first game of 2024 saw a waxing, so I apologize for you. That must have been tough, but needless to say, hopefully your next game you venture out to goes differently for you.
I got to tell you, Anthony, that was a rough one to watch. It was rough in the first period. We're going to get more to that in 1 second, as well as the breaking news for the New York Rangers. But we also got a lot that's going down today. After all, Connor McDavid, Anthony, he hit a milestone. There's going to be plenty more of those in the future. And we are going to go straight to the A block, where we're going to stay on Long Island and talk about the New York Islanders first. And of course, everybody, the A block is brought to you by SeatGeek. Use the promo code Big Apple Hockey for $20 off your first order. And of course, Big Apple Hockey trucker hats are available. Click the link for yours. Matter of fact, one of my friends yelled at me this week saying, "How the hell do I not have a Big Apple Hockey hat yet?" You know what? I don't know. Anthony, going with both teams, we'll get to the breaking news on the Rangers in a minute, but you got the Rangers. They were 2-2 this week. They still sit atop the Metropolitan Division. Their last game, as you said, a 6-1 waxing to the Carolina Hurricanes, and I have a lot of problems with that first period. And you have the New York Islanders to start out last week after the show. Not that great, but, you know, still 1-2-1. Last night, a loss to the Colorado Avalanche. I muddled my words. Colorado Avalanche. Colorado. I don't even know where the hell that was.
So much for your tagline of no mistakes in 2024.
Just because that's a mispronunciation.
You called them the Carolina Avalanche.
I thought there was an L I threw in there for a second. So, you know, those are words. I mean, these ones, that's the real ones I focus on. Obviously, Anthony, we're going to get to the 7-0 loss that the Islanders had to the hands of the Pittsburgh Penguins. But what are your takeaways this week from both teams?
Kind of just average, really. You know, for the Islanders, that 7-0 loss, honestly, I have nothing to say about it. It's one of those cliches moments where they say burn the tape and move on. That's all you could say. It was a stinker. I guess they thought they were still on holiday break. You know, it is what it is. But, you know, most importantly, after that game, they came back out and returned the favor and thumped Washington 5-1. So it was good to see them come out like that after such a bad game the game prior. And then they dropped another game in Pittsburgh, which, you know, they've owned the Penguins really since 2018, 2019. So Pittsburgh's beat them twice already this year, which I hate to see, but the Islanders had so much success over them consistently over the years. I knew it was kind of, you know, eventually going to turn. So, but that game was obviously much, much more even. Penguins had the empty net goal. And then last night in Colorado, you know, 3-1 lead. But I'm not even that upset that they blew it. I mean, Colorado is just such a dynamic, fast team. They're so hard to play against when you're in their building, 'cause the high altitude, and, you know, it's always a tough place to play. And they're just really skilled. So fortunately, the Avalanche got back in the game, and they won in overtime and on a penalty that Scott Mayfield took at the during the winding seconds of the third period. So kudos to the Avalanche, but that game though, the Avalanche out in terms of shot attempts, it was 91-44.
Yikes.
So the Islanders got caved in there. Simply can't happen. It's unfortunate, and Lane Lambert was actually quite vocal about it after the game, but the power play goal that they tied the game on late in the third, and Mike Riley interference, he was not happy with that call. He openly said it was terrible.
But, Anthony, by the way, while we're on it, how about the goal? Like, that was insane.
Well, that's another thing. If the Islanders, that was luck on the Avalanche's part, really. I mean, his stick breaks, which kind of changed the whole complexion of the play because everyone thought the puck was going in one area. The stick flies off, the puck goes to McKinnon, and he just sends it out in front for a tap-in. So that was a bad break for the Islanders. Usually when a stick breaks like that, maybe play goes the other way, Islanders get a chance. But no, just terrible luck on the Islanders' end and really good luck on the Avalanche's end. And, in the power play in overtime, I always say when a team takes a penalty in overtime, you're basically handing the other team the game. I mean, it's usually game over when a team gets a power play. And especially a team with the Avalanche that have all those weapons. So fortunately, let a point get away, but you leave Colorado, get out of there, and get to Arizona. And they also lost two guys. Varlamov started that game. He left 6 minutes into the game, which could be problematic, considering, last week he was kind of day-to-day and missed the game where the Appleby was the backup. So, hopefully he's okay. If he's out for an extended period of time, the Islanders are going to have to be one of the many teams dipping their toes into the backup goalie market here, as Ken Appleby's only has 3 games of NHL experience. So I don't think, Lou would want to go with him in the long term. But and then Robert Bortuzzo got hurt, and he's on the IR now. So not the best night for the Islanders in that regard, and considering the guys they lost and, losing the game. But overall, again, kind of average. And, the Metropolitan Division continues to be extremely, extremely condensed and packed. Two through seven is really tight. So points are at a minimum here.
And actually, I should have mentioned this. I did have dental work done today, so I guess that's sort of like an announcer's version of hobbling a little bit. I don't know. I mean, I'm still like trying to get through this. Maybe that's the reason why I said Colorado or whatever I said at the beginning. Anyway, Anthony, the only real note because the last night's game had a different feel for the Islanders. And I'd say the only real note is they should just be lucky they got that point, because Nate McKinnon on a breakaway, a bad giveaway. That was a bad giveaway. And he could have ended it right there. Sorokin makes the save. Islanders get a point. There's a different feel about losing last night, as you said. You lose to Colorado in Colorado. I'm not going to stress about that. That's not losing to San Jose when you're up 4-1. It is another blown third period lead.
That's absolutely true too. Sorokin saved the Islanders, bacon really last night. And by the way, I think you meant to say Nikushkin, Mark. That was Nikushkin at the end of the game that had the breakaway that Sorokin made the save on.
I thought it was McKinnon late in the third period.
Late in the third period, at the very end of the game when Mayfield took the penalty left with like 30 seconds left in regulation.
Oh, all right.
A bad, terrible pass. Nikushkin got it. He danced through Mayfield, and he made a really good move, and Sorokin kept the puck out. So,
I must have been focusing on McKinnon, because that pass he made, on the game tying goal, you would have thought that was a set play. Obviously, it isn't. Like that's one of those where you look over and we talk about that third period feeling that
not to cut you off, but that's why I say that was luck, because his Makar's stick broke, yet the puck still goes perfectly to McKinnon, and the stick went flying. So it's unfortunate, but that's what happened.
I know it is unfortunate. But at least the Islanders got 3 points out of this week. It's a tough scramble right there, because you got that is a tightly packed division. And you have the Flyers that they look like they're starting to fade. You have the Penguins that look like they're starting to ascend. Washington puts a stop to them. Washington loses two games to the New York teams. Then they beat the Penguins. It just goes on and on, back and forth there on everything.
And then you have the Devils too, you know. So that then they're playing Washington tonight. So
yes,
you know, one of those teams is going to pick up points. So it's like I said, it's really really tight right now.
And before we switch over to the Rangers, Anthony, this month of January, and we said this last year, in the month of February, the Islanders had a really rough schedule. This is their month of January. They're getting at Colorado, at Arizona, at Las Vegas, home for Vancouver, Toronto, then at Nashville, at Minnesota, at Winnipeg, at Chicago, home for Dallas, Las Vegas, Montreal, at Montreal, and then versus Florida. They're playing 10 playoff teams. They don't get nights off. You're going to have to bring your A game every single time. And in fairness to the Islanders, last year in February, they had the same stretch, and we were marking this, and they came out like gangbusters on that. And yeah, I mean, in a moment, we're going to have...
I don't think the stretch is as hard as you're making it out to be. I mean, yeah, Arizona is an improved team, but they're still a wild card team. Toronto has a lot of struggles right now. Nashville's a wild card team. Minnesota's bad. Chicago's bad. Montreal's you know. So it's really not that bad. You obviously got a good Vegas team for sure. You got a good Winnipeg team. Dallas is certainly good. But I don't really think it's that tough. For instance, last year's stretch I think is much tougher than this.
Yeah, last year's stretch was much 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 more difficult. And
the big question though for me is the health of Varlamov. Again, if Semyon Varlamov is out for any stretch of time, he's an important, you know, the best backup in the league essentially. And you know, he comes in, his numbers are good this year. And if he's out, what's going on, Filk? And if he's out for, you know, like I said, extended period of time, that hurts the Islanders because their strength is being able to go to Semyon Varlamov. So. You know, Appleby was recalled on emergency basis today. They didn't practice, so there was no news on Varlamov, but, you know, we'll see what tomorrow brings. Hopefully he's not, you know, it's nothing serious, but if it is, look for the Islanders to, you know, try to acquire Michael Hutchinson or Eric Comrie, both guys who were just on waivers last week. Cause at least they have NHL experience and would be a better option than Ken Appleby. So, well, but like I said, don't get too far ahead. Let's just see what the deal is with Varlamov first, but that's what they're potentially looking at.
Yeah, because we're going to talk more about the Islanders goaltending situation in just a moment. We're joined right now by the third part of the Hockey Triforce, Mr. John Falkowski. Filk, go right into it. What do you think about the Islanders last week?
I mean, last week, it seems like it's more up and down play. They're starting to play a little better. I still think they have, you know, a little bit of a ways to go. That schedule that you were just looking at, though, Anthony, I think you're kind of discounting the competition a little bit. I really do. I get Chicago is, yeah, they're not a good team. Vancouver is legitimate. Las Vegas is legitimate. Toronto's legitimate. Whether or not how you feel about them, they're still a legitimate team. Colorado, you saw that they're still a legitimate team, and they're getting Nathan MacKinnon is playing as good as anyone in the NHL right now, and that's, you know, that's the big thing. Minnesota, I'm not really worried about them right now. They've got some injuries they're dealing with. Kaprizov's out, and then they have another. Oh, Phil Gustafson, sorry, is out. So they're out there starting goaltender. But Montreal is playing better as of late. Florida is playing better as of late. See the New York Rangers and their struggles against them in that game. Nashville, you're talking about Nashville and Arizona, but they are wild card teams and they're not easy outs. So
I didn't say they're easy outs, but they're not elite teams. That's the point.
But they're going to give you a fight. They're going to give you a fight, and that those are still going to be tough games. So I just think you're kind of discounting things a little bit here. Is it murderer's row like that stretch for them was last year? No, that stretch was insane. That's one of the more insane stretches I've seen in the schedule for any team recently. But I do think that still is a pretty tough schedule. But I mean, up and down, but I still think they're playing better. I still think that they need a boost scoring wise. I think the power play is good, but I do think at 5v5, they could still use a little more help.
And Phil, both teams had a burn the tape type of game. So we were just going over the Islanders and their 7-0 game.
Oof.
Nothing to talk about with that.
No, that's legitimate. I know a lot of Ranger fans want to talk, and I'm not trying to hijack here, but I'm just doing this to bring up a point that I've seen recently. Every time I see a Rangers loss, it's always a burn the tape type loss. Every Ranger fan, burn the tape, burn the tape, burn the tape. Not all of those are burn the tape type losses. That Islander game against Pittsburgh, that is a legitimate burn the tape type loss. They did everything wrong that they could have done. I mean, the coverage was so bad. The Malkin goal should have never happened. Zahorna, his goal should have never happened. So many bad giveaways. People just letting players just walk in wide open to the net. What was Sorokin or Varlamov supposed to do in those situations?
Mm-hmm.
Nothing. They forgot how to play defense for an entire game. Literally from start to finish.
I'll argue it wasn't even an entire game. It was just a 10-minute stretch.
No, it was the entire game. When they weren't going in, there were guys still wide open. What was their defense doing? Were they drunk? Did they have amnesia? What were they doing in that game? It was terrible. It's one of the worst defensive performances I've seen in a long, long time. When you get killed 7-0 like that in a game, that almost like looks to me like they were just like, shut up, Lane. Shut up, Lane. We're just going to mail it in tonight. Shut up. That's what that looked like.
Well, folks, switching gears also to a better defensive effort. Last night, the Carolina Hurricanes, I thought they put on a clinic versus the New York Rangers. Like, the first period, atrocious referee, just play, okay, whatever, reffing, however you want to say. That's terrible. It's not why they lost, because they weren't doing anything on the power play anyway. Carolina kept them out of the house the entire night. They couldn't generate anything.
So the two things that I've seen, and I said this last night, is that one, they kept forcing east-west passes at the blue line. And it got so bad to a point where the Carolina defense was literally just stepping up on them at the line because they knew it was coming every single time they did it, every single time, and they refused to get away from it. And then the other team that this thing does when they fall behind and they start to, you know, try to panic because they have an insurmountable lead that they're going up against, stretch passes. They go back to that stretch pass instead of breaking out with speed through the zone. That's another thing that needs to end. The last thing that I saw when I go back and when I went back, and I kind of had to kind of take a look at it and just see if it was possible for them to do this, but dump the damn puck in and retrieve it. You don't have that move at the line. Dump the puck in. Go get it. And this team refused to play that type of game last night. I'm going to tell you right now, that's not going to work in the playoffs. It's not. You play that Carolina team in a 7-game series in the playoffs, they will wipe the floor with you if that's how you're going to play. It's not going to work. We saw the Islanders try it with them. We saw New Jersey try it with them. And New Jersey absolutely just got their faces rubbed in the dirt last year in the playoffs. But it also showed me that this team has a glaring lack of depth in the bottom six.
Yep.
Glaring lack of not only depth, but skill and speed. You cannot have Barkley Gaudreau and Nick Bonino out there at the same time because they're just two different. They're just the same player. But I would say Nick Bonino is slightly worse than Barkley Gaudreau at this point. Nick Bonino wins faceoffs, but Goudreau's a better skater by maybe about that much. And Gaudreau might be a little better defensively. It's the same player, and you can't have two of them on the same line. You get caved in at 5-on-5. I don't care what Money Puck says. I don't care about expected goals in that regard because that same site told me that Zibanejad, Kako, and Kreider together were really good at 5-on-5 at the beginning of the year. And we all know that's a load of crap. So a lot of things need to change with this team.
It was kind of weird that, one of the comments that was right here, I just got to bring this up, that why wasn't the Avery rule enforced? This is from Scott. And It was for the breakout. That's the reason why it wasn't enforced. Because I remember that. I was right behind the net, and they were waving. He was waving the stick right in front of Shesterkin's face, and Fox couldn't get out. Fox couldn't figure out where to go. Carolina wasn't even letting the Rangers break out of their own end.
I still think that should have been enforced there. That you're not allowed to do that. And I don't know why it wasn't enforced, but.
Is that why? Anthony, I don't know if you saw the clip. That's why I'm going to bring this up for you to look at. I get it over here.
Here's the most standing thing for me. Bonino and Goodrow have a total of 9 points, and they're both minus players. So if they're so good at 5-on-5, why do they only have 9 points, and why are they negative players? If Money Puck's model is accurate, why is that the case then? Maybe because the premise of expected goals is sort of asinine, in effect, in a sense.
I think expected goals is a tough stat to keep a track on. Scoring chances enough. Anthony, this is what they're referring to, but that's not the Avery rule. The Avery rule is if it's on a power play or if the shots are behind you, that's a breakout. The puck's in front of them. Or is it that you can?
If you try to tell me that that line's better than the 2014 fourth line, I suggest that they quit the revisionist history and go back and watch that line again.
They're wrong on that. Anthony, can you go ahead?
No, you're right. I mean, I don't know for sure, but the best I could say is, when Avery did it, you know, the puck was going towards the net. The Rangers had the puck behind the net. Shesterkin wasn't facing any shots at the moment. That's my assumption.
Well, I really hope I just didn't release some personal information as I was just sharing that screen. That would have been disastrous. All right. But for this week, you gotta think these teams are going to put forth better efforts. And a little bit of this was Christmas break was just kind of going on, or maybe New Year's hangover. Anthony, you first.
Well, the 7-0 game surely was. I mean, the Islanders were not ready to play that game. There are three games after that, the game against Washington where they won, and then the other game against Pittsburgh and Colorado. That wasn't an effort issue. There wasn't an issue of them not putting in effort or holiday hangover. That was just, you know, the two games.
Well, the holiday hangover is for the Rangers.
They just got beat. No, I'm not concerned with the Islanders' effort.
All right. Yeah, Phil, do you think there's going to be a better effort in the next game versus Chicago? Well, it's a good thing you got a tomato can up, right?
Is this layup talk early?
Yeah, it is. Well, in this case,
they're going to come out and play the same exact way because they're going to think that everything is okay for that game. You silly, silly man. Really?
Yeah. And one last thing before we break to do the DraftKings read. And also, this is also the type of thing you want as a coach. You want to say, guys, we've got to work on this. We've got to work on this. Sometimes it's just one goal games.
These games to slap you in the face. And I'm with Evan on this. It's just been for the last month or so, it's been on and off game, on and off game. And then they had a stretch where they won a few games in a row. But it's been on and off. And you know what? They have to stop playing like this. So let's shake this bad habit in January, and let's get to March and April playing a brand of consistent hockey. Listen, if you win 3-5 in a row or something like that, and then you have one stinker and then you win another 3-4 in a row, that's expected. That's going to happen. Mm-hmm. That's the mark of a good team. But effort, no effort. Execution, no execution. Like that's not sustainable come playoff time. So take that habit now.
And I think part of them is trying to hold out until the trade deadline. One last thing, breaking news. The Rangers have called up Brennan. The Rangers have called up Brennan Ottman. And Filk, is this a good sign? Is this a chance that he might stick around for the rest of the season? Because I know there are Ranger fans right now think, oh, the Messiah is here.
He's not a Messiah. If you're expecting him to be the cure-all of everybody's problems with this team, no, that's not how that's going to be. I imagine this team is going to go out and get a winger and maybe even a center by the time the deadline ends. I imagine Philip Hedl's probably not playing another game until the playoffs. It doesn't, the prognosis does not look good on him right now. Kaapo Kakko will be back at some point. It's just a matter of when. I don't know when that's going to be.
All right.
I do think though that this is a good sign that he's up. I think that it also tells me that Chris Drury and Peter Laviolette have finally gotten tired of the lack of depth and skill in that bottom six. And they think that he could give you more than Tyler Pitlick at this point. I'm surprised that Adam Edstrom didn't get the call, though.
Well, we've talked way too much. We've almost completely silenced Anthony in the last six minutes. So we got to get him talking again.
Catch up a little bit.
Well, yeah. This is what happens when we don't have you on. Your battery's really charged. All right. Well, we're going to take a message from DraftKings and go right into bar talk or the layout talk, as you guys call it. Hockey fans, light the lamp this winter with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. New customers can bet just $5 pregame money line on any NHL team to win their game and get $150 in free bets if they do. If that wasn't enough excitement, you can turn small bets into bigger payouts with same game parlays. Combine multiple bets like which team will win, how many goals will be scored, and more for your shot and an even bigger payout. Download the DraftKings Sports app now. Use promo code THPN. Bet $5 on any NHL team to win their game and get $150 in free bets if they do. Only at the DraftKings Sportsbook with code THPN.
Shot. This is the easiest I've ever had to answer.
I'm going to say beer. I can't even begin to describe.
I'm actually going to go crazy. I'm going to buy everybody around on this one. Welcome back to Big Apple Hockey's Bar Talk, where we are gauging our confidence on NHL topics based on our choice of drink. I promise there won't be that many layups or technical errors. Play along down in the comments below. Make sure you are buying beer or a shot. And of course, as always, why go to the liquor store when you can just click the link below and go on Drizzly and have somebody bring it to you? Christ Kreider will not be here, although he did have a goal last night and another milestone for him. And of course, the trucker hats are available. Click in the link below for the eBay store.
Christ Kreider turn rocks into bread?
No, he just turned a deflection into a goal last night.
Are you sure he didn't part the Red Sea?
Oh, no, that would be Moses. Anyway, you know, Christ Kreider would walk on water. All right, Philk. Ranger center Philip Hedl has returned to Czechia to recover from his concussion. He last played November 2nd versus Carolina Hurricanes. Philip Hedl will play again this season.
I can't say this is a layup, but it's... I'm going to say shot. I think they're going to LTIR him for the rest of the year. I think they don't want to even risk it. The fact that he went back home is not a good sign. So it's gotten to a point where I think that you're really starting to worry about this kid's actual health, like outside of hockey and his quality of life. So, which is not a good thing considering that I watched this entire Eric Lindros saga happen over 20 years ago. So, just hope for the best for him. Hope he's back for the playoffs if he can be. But, you know, if his health prohibits him from playing hockey again, then thanks for the memories, Phil. I hope it's not that. I hope that I'm a little premature in saying this, but just hopefully he gets well. That's all I care about at this point. And then if he can get back, great.
Anthony, you had to watch the Brett Lindros saga when this happened, as well as Pat LaFontaine.
I'm gonna go beer here. I think I had read that Staples said the plan was for him to hopefully be back with the team like after the All-Star break, and him going overseas wasn't essentially them shutting him down or just kind of, you know, reset. But surely there's a possibility he doesn't play again this season when it kind of goes this long. But I do think there's potential that he does return at some point. And you hope that is the case for him and the Rangers organization. But I think if he wasn't going to play, I think maybe be a little more transparent. I think the fact that they're hoping he'll be back after the All-Star break is maybe a good sign. So I'll say beer, but I could see a scenario where he doesn't play again.
Hold on. Staple said that they are hoping he definitely.
Yeah, it was an article I read. I don't know, maybe last week they said the hope was that he would be back with the team after the All-Star break was over. I'll try to find it for you. But
I did not see that. I mean,
yeah, that's one. That would be welcome news. Unfortunately, I've kind of seen this too many times. Pick your.
I think MYR for life is right here, because I read an article from Staple either last week or the week before that said that the hope for Kako was back after the All-Star break, not Hedl. I think you might be confusing the two of them.
Well, maybe not, but you know what? We know that he was skating a little bit and then he went back to Czechia. Guys, we have seen this too many times with different players. You can't predict the concussion. And you also can't predict the concussion recovery.
Because
Michael Sauer, remember him? Throw him in there. Former Ranger Mark Savard. Yeah. Then, I mean, you have Paul Kariya, who went on to still play more years. But even he says he couldn't remember the famous goal in the Stanley Cup Finals.
Yeah.
So, you hope it's not going to be the case, guys. But, I mean, it's kind of leaning that way. And going right to another crucial player that needs to be healthy. Islander Semyon Varlamov exited last night's game with an injury. He missed a game last week with an undisclosed injury as well. Anthony, should Varley miss time? The Islanders have to acquire a veteran goalie.
First, I'm going to pause. I found the article. It's from Arthur Staples from December 30th. And no, it was definitely Hedl. He said, it's believed Hedl will be back in New York before the All-Star break begins on January 28th. That's a positive sign that this is not an indication Hedl's being shut down for the season, even though his recovery has been slow and cautious.
Wow.
So you see that, guys? We are prepared with information.
Because I read an article probably the week before that, before he actually went back home, stating that it didn't look good for the season and that Kako was expected back after the All-Star break. Okay. I mean, that's great news then. Thank you. Thank you, Arthur Staple, for that update then.
And also thank you for Anthony for providing it for us. Anthony
for finding it, yeah.
So, Anthony, the Islanders need to get a veteran goalie, especially if Varlamov is going to miss time.
I would say anything longer than 2 weeks. Yeah, they're probably going to need a veteran goalie. I would have to look to see how many back to backs they're playing, you know, over the next 2 week span. But, you know, I would say that anything longer than 2 weeks will require certainly a veteran backup. I mean, like I said, Ken Appleby, he has 3 games of NHL experience, and that was with the Devils. And this was back like in, I think, 2018. So I don't know if the Islanders would feel comfortable, you know, with him, you know, playing, you know, any sort of close to a, you know, even spot duty type of situation. So, you know, if it's only a week, less than 2 weeks, they may just roll with it. But I think anything longer, absolutely. You know, Varlamov's really important to the team. His statistics are good this year. He's relied upon when they call upon him to start. So it would be a big loss if he's out for an extended period of time, for sure.
I got good news for you, Anthony. This month, even in that schedule, one back-to-back.
Yeah, so then that is good. That's good.
All right, so if he's missing time, that's a round right there, right?
Yeah.
All right. So, Phil, what do you think?
The wording is kind of vague here. You're not really specifying what amount of time.
Well, extended amount of time. I fit it in for the banner.
All right, I'll go round on that then. That's a layup then at that point.
Yeah, it's pretty much a layup.
Yeah, that's a layup. He's 100% at that point. You don't want to go with a minor, even with the lack of only one back to back there. you can't exactly go with Ken Appleby. That would be like the Rangers calling up Ken Jernander to try to replace somebody at this point. Like, you're bringing in a guy that's really, what has he done at the minor league level? What has he done at the NHL level? So I would go get somebody at that point. I'd rather have Comrie than that.
Let me go on from this. And first I'm going to say beer on this because I think they might ask Sorokin to handle the load. I'll tell you a different thing. When you talk about veteran goalie, we're not talking about him going to go get Jake Allen.
No.
We know that. A veteran that could pick up the phone and just go, hey, I could go spot start for you. If only they had a guy that was just in the organization recently who was doing TV work that you could call anytime, like Corey Schneider, who could just, you bring him in, play a game, one game behind that Islanders defense when they're playing like the Islanders. Maybe you could do that. I'm just throwing names out there, Philk. I mean, the Rangers have Louis DeMink coming
Schneider, in. Corey Schneider, it's been a while for Corey Schneider, though.
Well, I'm just throwing out names. Because no, right now, I think
you know, Hutchinson and Comrie were just waived, so clearly I think they could be had for pretty cheap. I think those would be the type of guys they would look at. You're right. They wouldn't look at Jake Allen or anybody like that, but Eric Comrie would fit the bill if Varlamov was, let's say, out for like a month.
Different scenario here, David. I mean, I know the Islanders are close in the standings, but they're not exactly in first place, and Skapski played against the 2014-15 Sabres. That team was atrocious and was basically a minor league team.
And so, they were trying to tank that.
Yeah,
that
they were season. Purposely going after Connor McDavid. So, yeah, different story here.
Well, let's look at a team that might have solved their goaltending problems, or at least they're looking a little bit better recently. Carolina Hurricanes, 6-1-3 in their last 10 games. Philk, Carolina's found their game.
Beer. They're playing better, yeah, but I mean, the penalty kill is big for them. They're playing good defensively. Their goaltending is still an issue. I don't care what anybody says. You're not rolling with Kochetkov as your starter going into playoffs. If that's the case, they don't stand a chance, and I doubt they win a playoff round because they're not going to be able to dummy teams like they did the Rangers last night. And the Rangers, if they play them again in a 7-game series, you know Peter Laviolette is going to be able to make the adjustments and tell them, hey, you can't do this crap anymore. So we've seen it before. Brendan Moore hasn't been able to get the teams over the hump. I mean, they haven't played an Eastern Conference final game since...
Well, last year. They haven't won one since 2006. They haven't
won one, I should say. Yeah, sorry. Since 2009. I think.
Their last win was the one that got them to Stanley Cup Finals.
That team got swept.
Yeah, they've lost 12 straight.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. I thought they had won one game in that series. Why did I think that was a game 5 win?
Because I remember commenting on that last year when it was previews for the series.
Jeez, wow, yeah. That is crazy. But yeah, they swept Carolina in the conference finals in 2009. Okay. Yeah. But yeah, 2006. You're not winning with that goaltending. You're not. You're just not winning with Kochetkov. And then you got to remember, he came in relief in game 7 against the Rangers. And what happened? They proceeded to put, 2 in on him in that game? He's not the guy. He's not. They better hope that Freddie Anderson is back and healthy, or go ask Anaheim about John Gibson.
There's going to be a lot of teams asking about John Gibson. Anthony, Carolina's found their game.
Yeah, it's a beer. Rod Brind'Amour has gotten them closer back to playing that, you know, their typical suffocating, you know, real good defensive game for sure. But like you guys said, their goaltending's still a problem. That game when the Islanders beat them, or was it a week, 2 weeks ago, whatever it was now, or Kochetkov got awful in that game. So their goaltending still has some serious problems here. So yes, while they're playing better, I think if they don't find a real answer in net and be more consistent in goal, they're not going to go too far.
I'm going to go beer on this too. That right now they got scoring from Svechnikov. He's got 6 goals since Christmas. So right now he's got something rolling. Sebastian Aho has got, I think it's 10, 12 points. My apologies. And somehow no Ranger really got him to bait into a fight after the collision with Adam Fox, which either way, if you want to say it wasn't knee on knee, is still that's the way hockey does its justice. Now, the only thing that worries me is just it's a short stretch. You got three overtime losses that are in there. Carolina's look like more like Carolina, but they're not there entirely yet. But everybody should start taking notice. They're starting to wake up. And last week, the Toronto Maple Leafs waived Ilya Samsonov. And right now they're riding Martin Jones. But they're going to need help. Anthony, almost said the Rangers. The Maple Leafs should acquire Jake Allen.
Not that I think Jake Allen's, you know, this fantastic goalie, but I'm going to go around here. You know, Martin Jones cannot be relied on. They just recalled their starter from the AHL. His name escapes me at the moment, something with an H. But they, you know what? It's crazy to say, but they really need to find an answer in goal. Because let alone your previous question for Bar Talk, Mark, was they can win a playoff round with Martin Jones. And the crazy thing is, the Maple Leafs have to be careful that they could fall in a situation where they're fighting for a playoff spot. You know, Tampa Bay is only 2 points behind them for third in the Atlantic. And if they fell out of third in the Atlantic, they're point-wise, they have 43 points. They're right in the same boat as all these other Metro teams that are closely bunched. New Jersey, Washington, Pittsburgh, you know, the Islanders, Flyers, Hurricanes. So, I mean, if Tampa Bay overtakes them for, you know, that third spot in the Atlantic, you know, there's not a guarantee they get a wild card spot just because of how competitive the Metro teams are right now. So, yeah, I certainly think they need a goaltender to elevate their game. Otherwise, you know, they could be in a situation again where they're fighting to even make the playoffs. So, Joseph Wall's been actually pretty good, but he's hurt right now. They have to do something in the meantime. For me, this is a round. The question is, Will Montreal help out a division rival and trade them there? I don't know, maybe, but I think they should try to get them.
I think that's a bit of a tough sell, but Phil, what do you think?
I'm gonna say shot. What does Jake Allen do for them? Is if Jake Allen is your answer, what is the question? That's what I want to know at this point. What is the question? Is Jake Allen that much of an upgrade over Samsonov? Is he that much of an upgrade over anyone else in their organization? I'm not saying he's a bad goaltender, but again, this is just another misguided experiment with the Toronto Maple Leafs if this happens. It just goes to show you, they didn't figure out goaltending. This is not Jake Allen in 2014. This is Jake Allen in 2024. Fast forward 10 years, my friends. Yeah, exactly. Exactly, Evan. Thank you. Maybe a decade ago, he would have been helpful. But again, a decade ago, he was behind a very good St. Louis team. So I don't think he would get the same help defensively that he did 10 years ago. But if anything, if they're going to go and give up assets, go after John Gibson at that point. Go after Gibson. Go try to actually address the problem, not put a Band-Aid on a crack in a dam.
I got to go shot with this as well, only because I've never been a Jake Allen guy. I never thought he was able to handle the workload at St. Louis when he was the guy. That's the reason why Jordan Binnington ended up taking his job and winning him a Stanley Cup. And then Jordan Binnington became Jordan Binnington and still, like, they ended up – well, they moved on from Jake Allen anyway by that point. But it's one of those things –
The thing is, I think Jake Allen's much better than Martin Jones at this point.
Agreed.
So he's certainly going to make them –
Jones has actually played well
Martin
for them.
Jones is
so far.
Yeah, Jones is not a goalie I think they could bring to the playoffs.
I wonder about if Martin Jones can sustain this? Yes. But Martin Jones has showed more recently than Jake Allen has that he's capable of being a starter. Now, is that some major upgrade? No. But why are you going and giving up assets for Jake Allen? Why? What is that going to do to address the actual goaltending problem of them not having a legitimate starter on their roster right now?
The last time Jake Allen played more than 30, sorry, he played 42 games last year. But, I mean, I you look at his numbers, yeah, none of them really. Like
Marcus won the starting job over him?
Sorry, what?
Who won the starting job over him?
Who won?
Montembeau? Is that why they...
Sam Montembeau, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, I got grumbled a couple times on that talk.
To me, this is the textbook definition of insanity. Doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results.
It's crazier when you think about it because everybody's talking about him like he's the top goalie on the market.
He's not. Mark is only a Cam Talbot guy. Oh, Cam Talbot had the year, but granted, he's playing behind a real good defensive team.
And those numbers are coming down. Just saying about that one. All right, we're going to move on, guys. Going to the Minnesota Wilds, who got very bad news. Kirill Kaprizov is out week to week right now, as well as Gustafsson. I did not put him in there just because the headline is Kirill the Thrill. Here's the wild card standings right now, and it's almost as tight as the East, if not tighter. You got Nashville, Arizona. Those are the two wild cards. Edmonton and Seattle, point behind. St. Louis, Calgary, 3 points out, and Minnesota, 4 points out. The Flames have a better shot at the playoffs than Minnesota, and I'm actually going to go beer on this. I know mathematically speaking, there's a lot of underperforming guys in Calgary. I understand that there's a lot of things pointing in the wrong direction for Minnesota. Calgary's going in the wrong direction too. Even though, Jonathan Huberdeau, not Justin, had 2 points last night in the first 5 minutes, which was more than he had in the month of December. And I mean, Elias Lindholm, but I mean, they're going to be ripping that roster apart. The Wild got the better shot out of the two of these. Anthony?
I mean, it's close. They're separated by 1 point right now. And obviously Minnesota missing Kaprizov and Gustafsson. That's a tough loss for them. But as you said, there's a lot of underperforming players in Calgary. I mean, three of them, I would say, Lindholm, Hanifin, Tanev, will probably be traded. So that's kind of a toss-up. I'll go beer here. I think they're roughly similar, but if Kaprizov's going to be out for a long time, then I think the Wild are cooked.
Filk.
I got to go beer. They're going to sell three assets off between Hanifin, Tanev, and Lindholm. I don't see how Calgary makes the playoffs, and even if they do, what are your chances in a playoff series if you're Calgary? Is Calgary really going to go and because if their management is smart, which you would hope as a Flames fan, they wouldn't go and try to buy assets just to make the playoffs, only to see three guys leave in free agency. I mean, we've seen the exodus between Gaudreau, Tkachuk; those guys leave. Something's up with that organization. And these guys all went out. Lindholm rejected supposedly a $72 million deal over 8 years earlier on in the season. He doesn't want it. He clearly is out. So you're going to have to trade him. So that's probably your best forward gone. And then your best defenseman is going to be gone because they can't re-sign him either. And then Tanev is going to get a nice little return. He's dealt, so they've definitely got to sell those three guys. Yeah, I mean, you know what? I'm going to go to shot.
Yep.
I'm going to go to shot after thinking about this. I think Minnesota, if they could get their guys back, at least they could make a run. There's talent there. But Calgary's got underperforming talent, and they got three guys they got to sell. And then they got an inconsistent goaltender on top of that. He's been playing great. But Markstrom has been so up and down probably since the beginning of last year, he's been up and down. So,
And he still has 2 more years at $6 million per. I mean, can they actually move him?
Maybe if they want to retain a little bit on that deal, but I mean, that's going to be a hard sell for a team. I don't know who takes that on at his age.
Although, Anthony, looking at the rest of those teams in the standings, obviously Edmonton. Who would worry Edmonton, you more, yeah. Seattle or St. Louis?
Worry me more? Like if I was Nashville or Arizona?
Yeah.
Seattle. I think Seattle has another. I mean, look, they took care of Vegas at the Winter Classic. I think they have another gear to their game that they can get to. So for me, it would be Seattle.
All right. Let's move on. We have one, maybe two, depending on the time. Connor McDavid last night got his 900th point, fifth fastest player in league history to reach that milestone behind Wayne Gretzky, Mario Lemieux, Mike Bossy, and Peter Stastny, which I bet a lot of people would probably blank on Peter Stastny being the fourth fastest. But, man, did that guy have an underrated career.
Number two scorer in the 1980s.
And a lot of people forget about that. I still find it fascinating. The fastest guy to 1,000, Wayne Gretzky. And the second fastest guy to 1,000 points?
Wayne Gretzky.
Anthony, in the end of his career, Connor McDavid will be the second all-time NHL scorer. And I put up the Jágr number just in case if people need it.
If he stays healthy, obviously, because I don't think I think he clearly play at the level he's playing at. But if he stays healthy, I don't see any reason why not. I mean, it would be quite the accomplishment. I mean, I think most people already say he's probably one of the best players of all time already with his skill. So I certainly think he could do it if he stays healthy. Although I'm not going to say round just because it's really bold. So I'll say beer. But yeah, I think it's well within reach. He's that good.
All right. The man that worships at the altar of McJesus, Phil Kowski. Why'd I go with just Phil Kowski instead of Phil? Is he going to do it?
I've already gone on record saying that I firmly believe that he can and will, well, can break the 2,000-point mark. See you later, Anthony. I'm going round here. I'm absolutely going round here. I do think that he will be the guy to break 2,000 points. I mean, we're seeing somebody who started off, and I think in his first like 10 or so games, he was just under a point per game, and that was considered the worst stretch of hockey in his entire, 8-year career. Now he comes in, or 8 or 9 years, I think at this point, I think 8, but now he's back up to scoring at an over 130-point pace again. I mean, he is not out of the question to be the third player in NHL history to score 160 points in a season. And had he gotten any hotter last year, he could have done it last year. So, yeah, I'm going with him being as somebody who – let's actually, you know what? Let's do some math here. Do some math. He's at 903 right now.
Mm-hmm.
903. So he needs 1,097. You think that he can do 109 points over the next 10 years until he's, 36 years old? Yeah, I think he can do that. I absolutely think he can do that. And I think he's going to average at least 125 points for the next, I would say, 8 years, probably. I think he's just that damn good. I think you're going to see seasons of over 140 points during that span. I'm going round.
I forgot if I put it up. I'll put it up right there. Phil, here's the thing. I am going to go round. I'm going to put that up in 1 second as well. I do have to say this. What I worry about with him, not even his health, do things change if Leon Draisaitl goes? And his contract comes up after next season. Do things change if a coach comes in and says, Connor, which would you rather have, 155 points or a Stanley Cup? He is going to go, and McDavid is no slouch defensively.
McDavid already improved defensively. Is he ever going to be a Selke caliber player? No. But what coach is going to be stupid enough to try to turn him into a Selke player? What coach is going? There is no.
Well, we could have said the same thing about Yzerman.
Yzerman was never at this level. He was never at this level. Yeah, you could talk about that he had a 60-goal, 155-point season. He had two 60-goal seasons in a row. But Steve Yzerman was never at Lemieux and Gretzky's level. And by the time that Scotty Bowman came into the league, it was at the point where Steve Yzerman had to learn to change to win a Stanley Cup. There's no Scotty Bowman here. What coach is there that's going to come along and that's going to be, okay, I demand so much respect that a guy like you, that's a future Hall of Famer, no doubt, is going to have to listen to me. Name me one coach that's going to do that.
You know, there might be.
Don't tell me Joe Quenneville, because he's never coaching again.
No, it's not going to be Joe Quenneville. Joe Quenneville is the name that comes to mind, but he's never going to coach again. I'll say maybe if John Cooper, for some reason, ends up coaching Connor McDavid. I think he's the one that could get through to him.
Cooper saying, wouldn't even be dumb enough to do that. He hasn't done that with Kucherov.
That's true. And he's gotten actually more production with Stamkos as he's gotten older. So I'm just trying to think of the coach that would be at that level, Phil. It's tough.
Stamkos was never a defensive slouch. And no, Mike, sorry. Barry Trotz is not coming back. He's a general manager at this point. I think he's far
better. Yeah.
Coaching. I don't know how lucrative of an offer it would have to be from a team to get him to come coach. It would have to be stupid, probably. I think he's done coaching.
He's definitely done coaching. He's the hockey operations president in Nashville. It's where probably the job he always wanted after he left.
Here is the point. McDavid is the one guy that you don't do anything with. You want to know why? Because he is literally the definition of playing defense by playing offense and having the damn puck. The same argument that people use for Erik Karlsson as to why he should have won those two Norris trophies. Connor McDavid is that argument on steroids.
Yeah, I agree with that. I agree with that. You let him because he does have the puck and he does attack. I don't like defensemen that like Karlsson. Karlsson is probably the most polarizing defenseman in the league. I'm borrowing a quote from, I think it was Mick Kern who said it, but it's just, he really is. Phil, I did have a bonus one. I thought about leaving this for next week. So let me throw this out of you, see if you agree with it. Talking about the PLD trade. You want to talk about it?
Shoot.
All right, let's go. Last June 27th, Los Angeles Kings acquire Pierre-Luc Dubois from the Winnipeg Jets for a second-round pick, Alex Iafallo, Rasmus Kapari, and Gabe Vilardi. Winnipeg overwhelmingly won the PLD trade. Phil, I'll let you start it off.
Too early to tell. Way too early to tell. It's beer as of right now for me. But I lean towards Winnipeg winning this. And the reason why is because Gabriel Vilardi has taken that next step. Alex Iafallo has been a decent depth addition on top of that. It's way too early to declare a winner, but Pierre-Luc Dubois, as we talked about when Dennis Bernstein was on with us, he just has not made that transition yet.
Mm-hmm.
He's still kind of finding his way. I want to see what happens when he really finds his way, but the numbers do not look good right now. 7 goals, 14 points in 34 games. It's just not good enough. But Winnipeg is winning, and they're one of the better teams in the NHL. LA is also winning, and they're one of the better teams in the NHL. So do you really think that LA's management is going to turn around and say, oh, we don't like this trade just because PLD hasn't found his footing yet in year one, getting used to a new system, new team, new place of living, new ways of life, everything like that? No, they're not going to say that. They're going to turn around and say, it's still early. We're going to give him time. We're winning despite the fact that he's not as productive as he should be. And they're going to turn around and also say, hey, Could you imagine if he was productive, how good we would be at that point?
Yeah, I'm actually going to go at a different level on this. Because, yes, first off, yeah, L.A. got their guy. They were looking to get PLD. Let me give these caveats. They got three players to replace one, and they filled a lot of different holes. Eiffel is a hell of a player. So is Velarde. And, I mean, he had some unfortunate injuries to start this season. But, yet, it does look like Velarde is taking the next step. I'm playing around on this, Philk. And the reason why is because they got productive players and they got the biggest malcontent in the NHL out of their locker room. Whether or not everybody wants to say, oh, he's a good locker room guy, that stat doesn't show up. Yeah, well, go in a locker room with guys. And, yeah, you know what? I did want a little bit of excuse about this.
Yeah,
want
to talk about it? You definitely wanted an excuse to rant about Dubois because you know for a fact that this is – no, they didn't win one after 34 games. Oh, stop.
I'll say they won that deal.
Give yourself the pat on the back so you can rant about Dubois like you're Jeremy Roenick. Good for you, buddy. Good for you. Go ahead. Do a Barry Horowitz and give yourself a pat on the back.
Well, I think my joke during the summer is that he requested a trade out of there. So it's a little bit by design. All right. By the way, Phil, let me just throw this one at you for a quick topic. The Professional Women's Hockey League is starting up, and a shorthanded goal ends a penalty kill. Is this a good or a bad rule?
I kind of like the premise of it. I don't know. I know that they're not the first league to use it. Champions League actually uses it. But I am intrigued by that. Like, you know what, though? And I wonder, and I really wonder if this rule was ever enforced, how it would affect teams and the way that they set up their power plays. Like, I really think that you would stop seeing the four forward, one defenseman rule at that point. I think teams would be a little more conservative and you would see a little more traditional power plays like the Rangers in 94, where they had Messier, Zubov, and Kovalov. I mean, Messier, Graves, and Kovalov with Zubov and Leach at the points. So you would see two defensemen at the points instead of, four forwards and one defenseman. But I mean, it's interesting. I do like that. I do think here David is correct. What do you do with a major? I don't think it should. I think that's the only way that it should not apply is if it's a major. If it's a minor, it takes away one penalty, not two. But I'm also going to agree with Pete here. I don't think the NHL is going to do anything that could curb scoring. So,
I got to agree with you guys on that. I kind of don't like this, to be honest, because sometimes bad bounces happen. And I'll refer to you, Philk, Game 7, 1994 Stanley Cup Finals, that the Rangers take a delayed penalty on. Now, first it's a delayed penalty and they're on the power play. Trevor Linden picks it up, goes in on Mike Richter, scores his first two goals. And first, would that negate the power play, or does that just negate the delayed penalty? And then the other thing is, let's say that penalty wasn't called. The New York Rangers then don't win the Stanley Cup because they scored the Stanley Cup winning goal right after that. So, actually, it was the power play after that, as I remembered it just now. So, at least I made an ass out of myself really quick. But, yeah, it was the Vancouver killed off that power play, and then the Rangers ended up winning it on the Brian Noonan goal about the next power play.
Yeah, I hear people calling it the Brian Noonan goal. I honestly think Adam Graves may have even gotten a stick on that one.
Yeah.
I don't think that was Messier's goal.
But you know what? You give it to Messier. He wrote the story. The man that got the Conn Smythe, I was happy with. So there you go right there. Are there any comments that are sticking out to you, Phil? Any questions?
I mean, we've kind of been going along, and at least I have, and getting to them.
David says, the day ends in Y when I make an ass out of myself. Yeah. Yes, fortunately.
J.E. saying that Calgary has the ability to rebuild very quick by trading the three that we talked about before and Markstrom. The goalie market alone would fetch them a bunch. I wonder about Markstrom, his inconsistencies over the last two seasons, combined with a somewhat high cap hit, although $6 million is not terrible compared to some other goaltenders in the league. Sergei Bobrovsky, is not terrible, but it's still not great either, especially for someone who's over 30 years old and has years left on his contract.
I just wonder what he would fetch.
Yeah, I don't think Markstrom would fetch a ton. But I guess if you're stockpiling assets from that point, then yeah.
If you're the Toronto Maple Leafs, Phil, do you try to make a run to try to get him? And would that make sense? He's owed $6 million the next 2 years.
He would be a legitimate upgrade over what they have. The question I have is he worth giving up the assets for? Does he really fix their issues? Like the guy, I think if Toronto is going to go after somebody, I think it's got to be Gibson. And I know that's not very compromising, but you have to go and actually get a marked improvement over what they have. And yes, Markstrom is a big improvement. I just think he's too inconsistent to not have a great defensive team in front of him and carry this team. Could a change of scenery invigorate him? Sure.
And the fact that he might be in a playoff team, that could invigorate him. But also, keep in mind, Phil, when he was on a Calgary team that was a Stanley Cup favorite, he wasn't any good in the playoffs.
No, and that's the scary part. It's not just can they get Toronto to the playoffs. It's not just can they get to the second round. Now this team needs to be an Eastern Conference finalist or better or win the damn cup. Because supposedly they're working on an extension for William Nylander to be done by the All-Star break. We'll see if that happens. Supposedly it's in the $11 million range. But they're going to have to start selling off pieces if that's the case.
Because I have no idea what Toronto's doing, Phil.
I don't know how you add another double-digit contract and you don't lose depth. So this team is going to have to start getting ELC depth big time. I don't know how they're going to add a goaltender at that point. So
And as J.E. says, Markstrom would be better in Carolina.
I think so, too. I think with the way that they play in front of him, I mean, if anything, the last two Stanley Cup winners have shown us that if you have a goaltender that can just be above average in the playoffs, you can win with an elite team in front of them. So Vegas and Colorado are both great examples of that. But yeah, if Carolina went and got Markstrom, but here's the question I have now with you saying that. Is Markstrom that much of an improvement over Anderson?
No, but Anderson's health is in question. Like I said, the blood clots are in there.
Yeah, I understand completely. I understand. But the point is that Anderson getting back was their guy. That's their guy that they've gone with. That's their number one guy. Markstrom at his best. Is he that much of an improvement over Anderson at his best?
I would say Anderson is the better goalie even right now.
So before the health issues, Anderson was the better goalie.
I'm talking about his age. Like Anderson last year took him to the conference finals.
That's what I'm saying. Neither of these guys have been amazing in the playoffs. Markstrom wasn't good in 2022. Anderson hasn't been good in the playoffs over the years.
He hasn't been good since 2015.
Yeah, you know, I don't even think Anderson was really the guy in 2015. I just think Anaheim had a really good team back then.
Well, yeah, but they used him. Then Gibson beat L.A. They ended up getting past L.A. And Anderson was up and down versus the Blackhawks, but got in the game 7.
Markstrom had one good year.
Yeah.
One.
Yeah.
Anderson, consistently upper end numbers, not Vezina.
Now,
one good year.
So, just to go with this and move on from Markstrom, a guy that I've talked about a lot in our chats and everything else. If the Rangers can go out and go get Lindholm, the question from John Radigan is, if Hedl goes on LTIR, what's the ask for Lindholm? I think the Rangers are out. I think they don't have the assets to give, because multiple, probably since they don't have that many prospects, multiple first round picks, or multiple second, first and a second. I
think Lindholm is the type of guy that a conditional first goes for. If you look at some of the trades that have happened over the years, Tarasenko went for a conditional first. Zuccarello went for a conditional first. Mm-hmm. Kane was a conditional first. A lot of these guys are going for conditional firsts now. I just wonder what the ad has to be for Lindholm to make this deal work. Because I think there would be several teams that would be in on him. If it's Brennan Othman, I do wonder if the Rangers seriously consider that, because this is an all-in year. This is a year where I think Chris Drury is coming to the same realization that Neil Smith did in 1994. They have a great unit in place, and they need those pieces that put them over the top. I think this could be the year where the Rangers end up making one of those types of moves where fans end up hating in the future, where it says, oh, well, you know what? We may have sacrificed some of our future, but it may get you that one cup win this year. I think this is the year where Chris Drury is going to have to think long and hard about making those moves that this fan base might end up hating. In the long term, and not in the short term, because it helps them win, but in the long term.
And you know Chris Drury adds at the deadline.
He'll add
as many small pieces as possible. I just wonder, there's going to be a bidding war for Lindholm, and I think the Rangers are going to be forced out, because Colorado could offer Byram. Does Boston go crazy and offer Pontras or some of their assets? They're kind of a little bit thin too.
I don't know if Boston can afford to offer Pontras at this point. I really don't, because he came out of nowhere and he's been such a surprise for them. And they have a bleak outlook at center. They really do. And they are not getting the production that they need at center.
So, but Phil, let me say this. If you're telling me the New York Rangers could have a third line of Cooley, Kako, and Lindholm in the playoffs, I think Blake Wheeler could still, or Brendan Ottman could just slide up to the top line. Doesn't have to prove that much.
Brendan Ottman that's asked to be there.
Yeah.
But again, Pavel Zacha is there. Charlie Coyle is a third line center. Charlie Coyle is being asked to do way too much. I don't think he's that good. I think he's a decent player, but I 27 points in 36 games for Charlie Coyle. This might end up being a career year for him. I don't see how he sustains it going forward. And I don't think it's good enough going forward, to tell you the truth. Mm. But I don't think Drury's on the hot seat. But I do know that Dolan is going to want him to add. And I do know that Dolan has been part of the push for guys like Kane and Tarasenko. And when Dolan gets into his modes, we've seen it in the past, years and years ago during the Dark Ages, that he likes to add big-name players. Lindholm is the biggest add that you can make at forward. And this is a team that is very, very close. They are on the cusp of being that cup favorite, that cup threat. I would not be surprised if this team ends up adding Elias Lindholm by the deadline. And I'll tell you right now, it might not end up being something that people want to get rid of.
Yeah. And Look, if it's the Tony Amante trade, the caveat to that is I've used the caveat now twice. So, but the catch out of that is the Rangers won the Stanley Cup. They gave up Tony Amante. Now, the reason why I still bitch about the Mike Gartner trade is because they got Glenn Anderson back.
Who was useless.
He was totally useless. There was no difference between Glenn Anderson and Mike Gartner. And a matter of fact, there was. Mike Gartner owned the Devils that year.
I don't think they can handle Lindholm and Monahan. No. If you ask me, I think something realistic would be working on getting both Frank Vatrano and one of Sean Monahan, or maybe if Nashville falls out of the race, you would have to wonder about Yakov Trenin, who I think would be a real good fit. I don't think Monahan sucks. I'm sorry, I don't. I think too many people chart watch with him.
I'm one of those guys. I had him in fantasy, and I just never really liked him. But by the way,
we're not talking about bringing him in for tons of points. We're talking about bringing him in to be a third line center. He is an upgrade over Bonino and Gaudreau, and until Filippito gets back, he would be a good third line center addition.
Jave says, "Do you think Buffalo ships anybody out? I'm surprised they didn't make their goalies. I'll market their goalies before this year."
Olsen. And I honestly am not really impressed with Olsen. Everybody talks about Patrick Kane not playing defense. Victor Olsen does not really play defense either, and he's not an upper-end scorer. So who do they have that the Rangers would want?
I mean, if we're going to talk about Filippito being out, let's go with that there. Jason, by the way, thank you. Thank you, because we love it. We love it whenever you guys are here with us. And like I said, we are growing, and it's great that we have support of good friends. I had a friend of mine who Timmy Kerkostas, Hicksville Hockey Royalty, who said that he loves the show. And he is one of the most knowledgeable hockey guys that I know. So I know we're on the right track with something.
You know what, Eric, I got to say this right now. Eric Johnson at this point may end up being an upgrade over Braden Schneider, because Schneider is not playing good hockey right now. I'm sorry. I don't care what your analytics tell you. The eye test tells you that this guy is blowing assignments left and right.
Don't worry about that. I'll give you an actual example from last night's game. First, let me say this about Buffalo.
Don't talk to me about the goal where Igor misplayed the puck that wasn't on Schneider.
That's on everybody that's right there. Igor should have tucked it in.
No, that's frozen. Not. Schneider doesn't even get a chance to get that puck. Go watch the replay again.
Then was it Gustafson that banked it off the boards and it ended up in front of the crease?
Was the one that banked it off the boards behind the net. Yes, but Igor has to do either one of two things. He has to either let the defenseman take it, or he has to cover that. There's no in between. What he did absolutely screwed Schneider there.
Yeah, that's. I actually thought Igor had a good game, but that's a bad misplay. He had two bad misplays last night.
But you know what, though? That's not on Schneider. I've been on him all year. All year I've been saying he's been bad. But you know what? That's not Schneider's fault. That's absolutely on Shesterkin. You can't do that. Shesterkin got caught three times doing that last night.
Bad plays.
Three times.
He had a good night in the net. Nowhere else. He tried playing the puck, bad plays. By the way, Phil, the one guy that Jay said, and I was going to allude to him, Casey Mittelstadt, but I don't think the Rangers are looking for him.
Mittelstadt? No. No.
They need a center that's going to be a matchup center and could possibly put the puck in the net. Think it was Antoine Vermette in 2015.
Yes, Antoine Vermette went to Chicago in 2015, and that helped them.
And if I recall, he scored the game winner in game one versus the.
I believe you're correct on that.
Yeah. So, yeah, stay in your crease.
Yeah. He actually was in his crease when that happened. He just poked a puck instead of covering it. Just cover it. If you can't see your guy, if you don't know that the defense is behind your net and you have the forward right there, cover the damn puck.
Fuck yeah, which is Pete. He's saying Max Pacioretty's playing tonight. Wishing the best. I really do hope Max Pacioretty, because that was just unfair what happened to him last year. And he looked good.
Yeah, that sucks. You tear your Achilles, come back, and then you tear the same Achilles right away. I mean, you just gotta wonder if he's the same player.
Yeah, I mean, by the way, that's one thing. Going back to Shesty now, it's one thing. I always loved it when I saw a goalie that loved to play the puck, because there is nobody more arrogant than a goalie that loves to play the puck. Maybe John Van Beesbrouck was the most humble out of all of them. He knew he never really made a big mistake. Martin Brodeur turned the puck over a lot. Shesterkin's done it. Rick DiPietro's done it. And who was the goalie that literally passed the puck to the other team just recently? I think it was Bobrovsky. Like,
Tristan Jarry in the playoffs against the Islanders.
Tristan Jarry. Oh, God. Tristan Jarry. How did I forget about Tristan Jarry? That's one of the most egregious goals. Just stay in your net. Alex Tuck would be a great pick, but he's not going anywhere.
Alex Tuck is a Buffalo guy, and he's very happy in Buffalo. He wants to be a part of that rebuild. He's been pretty vocal about that. I don't see him going anywhere.
And I'm just going by his contract just for the sake of doing that. Alex Tuck, he's still signed for two more years. And he's got a modified no trade. He's got a 5-team no trade list. He's not going anywhere.
I was just trying to look up somebody before on Cap Friendly. And
I mean, but by the way, people want to talk about Brodeur. Brodeur was this great stick goalie. You know, remember the 2010 Vancouver Olympics? Where he got beat twice. Adam Henrique is going to be an interesting one.
I'm with Vince Mercogliano on this. I don't think that he's a great fit due to his skating. His skating's not the best. Is he a decent defensive player? Yeah, he's not bad defensively. Nowhere near Selke caliber, but I just don't think he's the answer.
Michael, we cover both teams. If you have an Islanders question, put it in. We're in the Q&A segment right now. We were doing both.
We're getting mostly Ranger questions right now. So.
Yeah, our Islander guy already left for the day. That's the only reason why.
I do like Dickinson. I think Jason Dickinson would actually be a really good one. I liked him in Dallas. He's actually having a big year in Chicago. The offensive numbers are going to come down a bit. He's shooting at a pretty high percentage, so the numbers are going to come down a little bit. But I still think that he's still a very good add. I would personally like to see him and Vetrano. I think if you go get him and Vetrano, I think you address two spots. You bring in a winger. You move Blake Wheeler. Kaapo Kakko can come in and be like a third-line winger at that point. Filippito comes back, and you could even put him at wing. And then you could maybe move Blake Wheeler out of the lineup, which I don't think they're going to do. They should. And I don't think they're going to do it, but they should. So,
by the way, if there's anybody from All Things Islanders that's watching right now, feel free to ask another question.
Yeah.
No, I don't think they're going to get Tyler Mott back again.
No. The one thing I will say is I think that Vetrano is very realistic because of the fact that Chris Drury, as shown with Tyler Mott, is not afraid to go get a guy that he spent assets on previously. Especially if he thinks that that's a guy that's going to come in and help out. I think that Vetrano is definitely an option for them, especially if he starts to cool down a little bit. Dickinson being a +8 on a club with a -53 goal differential is actually a very, very good stat.
Dickinson played for Dallas before, right?
Yes, that's what I just said before.
I had the right guy. Good. Oh, sorry. Yeah. I was responding to the other thing. Although, Phil, I think we're just going to go about 5 more minutes right now.
Yeah, not understandable. Yeah. Stutzla, not having Yeah, that would be crazy. You'd probably have to be giving up one of Lafreniere and some other assets to do that. Lafreniere, Hoffman, Perreault, and first rounders, and then some to get a guy like that. Dickinson, yeah, that's why I said his shooting percentage is high. The offensive numbers are going to come down a bit. But you're not bringing in Jason Dickinson to shoot the lights out. You're not doing that. You're bringing him in to give you responsible third line, you know, two-way play and a guy that can kill penalties. And Jason Dickinson is all of that. He is basically a better version of Gaudreau and Bonino at this point. Sean Monahan plays all three forward positions, wins faceoffs, kills penalties on power play. He's an all-situations guy. I know that some people don't like him because they watched the charts. I disagree with that. I think that Monahan has been a better player than what the charts say. I think that he's part of the reason why Montreal is having a little bit of a resurgence. Do I think that those offensive numbers are translating New York? No. But I think when everybody comes back, I think he could be part of a productive third line.
Phil, I'm actually not fully versed in this, the Ryan Hartman hot mic situation.
He was caught on a hot mic saying that he hacked somebody or something like that on purpose. I don't know about that. What are they going to do with it? What are they going to do? What can they get?
Yeah.
I just don't think this is worth going too far into because I don't think there's really really anything that they can do.
All right. And like I said, we're going to be cutting it short soon, but who do you see for like a seventh guy?
I don't know.
Negna
really would have been somebody maybe that they could have taken a look at as a seventh. I think maybe they end up bringing one in. I think if anything, maybe they call up from Hartford for like a black ace or something like that. I don't think that's going to be an area of focus. I think if they go and get a defenseman, I think they're going to have an upgrade over Braden Schneider. And I think it's going to be a six or a five that they would go after. Brett Pesce, how do the Rangers fit Brett Pesce? How do they fit Brett Pesce?
How's Carolina send him there anyway? Jason was asking that he read something that the Rangers should go get Tarasenko again. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's been rumored.
But I'm sorry, no.
All the beats have been talking about it. So.
Yeah.
Hronik is not going anywhere. I don't know who this is because it's coming up as Facebook user, so I'm sorry. But Hronik is not going anywhere. Vancouver is very happy with him.
Yeah. Didn't he sign an extension?
Pretty sure he did, but he's not going anywhere. He's
an RFA after the season. Yeah. You're not getting him.
And they gave up a lot to get, him in Bo Horvat. I mean, that's the byproduct of that Bo Horvat trade. It was getting Hronik. So, $4.4 million, 26 RFA after this year. I think he only has 1 year of RFA eligibility, and I think that's next year. And then he's a free agent the year after. So I'd imagine that they'll probably try to sign him long term in the offseason.
All right, guys, we're going to start the music right now. Get our way out of here because got dinner coming up soon. And I mean, there's been a lot of good action this week. You got this, everybody keeps touting this is a big game tonight, Phil. How big do you really think this is
for who?
The Devils, Capitals.
How is this big? I don't know about big. I mean, who is it big for?
That's a good question. I mean, both teams can recover from this. I mean, it's not like
this is not the end of the year. If whoever loses, the Devils are 2 points back of the Capitals, and they play the same amount of games. and the Capitals are only 2 points back of the Islanders, and they have two games in hand. So even if Tampa ends up winning and passing them, Washington has four games in hand on Tampa.
Yeah.
So why is this? I don't know how big this is.
I don't know. They're, like I said, like people around, they were touting how big this game is. I don't know. There's still room to recover. Although, again, the math on it still says then you have to go on a real good heater the rest of the way. So
Hoffman is not playing tonight, Matt. You mean tomorrow night?
Yeah, probably tomorrow night.
Yeah, I think that's what that means there.
Arthur Staple has said that it's that he's going to get a good look.
Yeah, and Arthur Staple was talking about a third line of a Hartford kid line. Or not really a kid line, but a Hartford third line. Sorry, because of Bronzinski being 30. Rangers kick tires on Luke Cunning. That's an interesting name that I haven't thought of. I really wonder how that would work. I think he has years left, if I'm correct. Beyond this year, I think it's like 1 or 2 years left.
Hey, folks, so the gold medal for the World Juniors, that's basically U.S. to lose if Canada lost, right?
No. I know that Sweden got taken to their brink by Switzerland, but Switzerland played very good hockey. I still think Sweden is probably the most complete and balanced team in the tournament. I think the way that they're playing has them on track to win it all. I think the U.S. and Sweden are the two best teams left. I do think that the U.S.'s offense can give Sweden trouble. They're the one team, I think, that can do it. But Sweden's defense is the best core in the tournament. The U.S.'s offense has been shoddy at times, and they have too many puck movers that don't play enough good defense. The difference between USA and Sweden, it's going to come down to Augustin versus Hadley. Jacob Fowler's not the guy. If Jacob Fowler's starting, then I'm wondering what the hell David Carl is doing there. Because Trey Augustin's been the better goaltender in this tournament. Cunning is not a UFA. He is a RFA after this year. Sorry.
Yeah, so, and what does GHA, GAH mean?
How many GAH does Ottawa have? I'm not sure what that means, GAH.
I mean, is it Georgia Apple Hockey? Because that doesn't work.
Was it supposed to be GAF? Games in hand. Games in hand, not at hand. How many games in hand does Ottawa have?
There are 33 games played. They played the fewest amount of games in the league. But I don't think it matters. You have to win those games. Ottawa isn't going to do that. Did you watch them against Vancouver yesterday? They were run out of the building.
They're terrible. They have 19 regulation losses. 19. And the only reason why, I mean, they have 14 wins, which is more than Columbus, but they have 19 losses. They haven't won a single game. They're overtime. They're not getting loser points. They're either winning games or they're just getting smoked in regulation.
Yeah. I mean, they've only won two overtime games, and which is both the ones they played, if you do the math on this.
That's it?
Yeah. That's it. I mean, you look at Montreal's a better team. We think if you look at their roster, they're inferior. Buffalo's a better team. They're not getting a good season out of Tage Thompson. You could argue their roster is inferior. Ottawa's got a lot of issues.
Buffalo also killed New York in a game. And what happened with their other two games? Toronto killed the Rangers in a game. What happened with their other game? The Rangers beat Carolina, got killed by them the other time. It happens.
I do have to say this. If there was a playoff series, Ottawa would be one of those teams that worry me because I think they're a very heavy down low team. And maybe Korpisalo gets hot. I just still don't see it about them. So
I wouldn't worry about that team. I think Peter Laviolette is going to he's going to show them the tape from that game. He's going to be like, this is what they did to you the last time. Go kick the crap out of them.
Yeah. All right, guys. Thank you very much, everybody, for watching. Mike, hopefully you're still watching, even though He didn't ask an Islander question at the end. We have lots of other questions that we have for that. But guys, thank you. And can't wait to see what this week is going to bring. We're going to be doing midseason awards next week, so can't wait for that. Talk to you all soon. And, Phil, final word?
I don't know.
All right. We'll talk to you later.
All right, later.